Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock in the nation's capital. Senior Bowl will be all over the tube today. And everybody has a preference for what's on your wish list, your burgundy and gold wish list. Is it O-lineman? Is it edge rusher? Is it cornerback? Is it offensive guard? Everybody has one. Max, I'm going to start with you. And if it's too soon, too early, I'll take it back.
No, I mean, they're definitely positions of need that are very clearly identifiable with this team. It's in no particular real order. Like, defense has got to be shored up a little bit on both the front and back end. I just feel like we need a little bit of depth, more depth at corner, because Benjamin St. Juice just ain't really cutting it. I would like to be able to kick Mikey back inside to slot corner. And have somebody pair up with Marshawn Lattimore, but I mean, we'll see where we go in the offseason. We definitely need an edge rusher who is able to both A, get to the quarterback, and B, set the edge, because that's so important, especially with all these great running backs that we've been talking about all show. It's important to, you know, have them contained, and I mean, if we're entering a second golden age of running backs, this is definitely the time to get on containing them. Then on the other side of the ball, we also got to fix the rush defense, but I'm flipping to the other side of the ball. We need depth at receiver. That's definitely a position of need. We need that bona fide wide receiver, too. I would love to bring both Diami and Noah Brown back, both as like wide receiver 3 and 4, because I think they offer a lot of really, really good depth, especially with, you know, a year under their belt already with Jaden. I think that's a good rapport. At the same time, we got to shore up the line a little bit better. Our interior is doing all right, but with Cosme hurt, we got to fix the right tackle spot and figure out if Brandon Coleman is really going to be our left tackle of the future. And then getting into the backfield, like, Austin Eckler's a little bit older, Brian Robinson, there were a lot of missed holes, I felt like, when he was running the ball. So I think getting a running back who's with some speed, who's able to kind of attack that and attack the edge, that's definitely something that I think we'll be able to find in this draft. The running back class is so deep that I will be able to find one, hopefully mid to late rounds, but that's kind of where I'm at. I think we got a lot of holes to fill, but I trust Adam Peters to do it.
Wow. That was a lot. Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of needs.
Yeah, we do, and a lot of teams do. I think every team does.
It's true. A lot of team has holes they need to fill.
Yeah, I think if you ask the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles, Buffalo, the final four teams in there, everybody would have a little bit of a wish list they'd like to. Theirs may be more from a backups standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think it's all relevant. I do think you have to narrow it down and go, what one position do you have to address your most needs in? And I think you'll hear this at the bottom of the hour when, if the Wolverine joins us, the rush edge in suffices, gives you, that's like getting a DB as well.
Yeah,
because your DBs become better the more pressure you get.
Exactly. It speeds it up the clock.
Yeah, I don't have to have Daryl Green if I have Charles or Dexter Manley.
Yeah.
But if I don't have Charles or Dexter, I have to have Daryl. Mm-hmm. This is where we're at. I had to have one or the other. So you're still trying to get. Now we're saying, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. First of all, you told me 114 games. Now you're telling me this and that. They both can be true.
Yeah.
What you can't do is lie to yourself in this process. The beautiful thing is that you have Adam Peters that has to do this, not us.
That's true.
That's the good news. Now, Brett may not agree with us. He may have.
Exactly. Speeds it up, speeds up the clock.
He may have a different deal. So, Brett.
Right, your radio's really loud.
Yeah, what's your choice? Charles, if we make you GM for a day, what say you?
But if I don't have Charles or Dexter, I have to have Daryl.
Brett, you got to cut your radio down.
I'm throwing Brett back on hold. Let's go to...
Let's go to D.C.?
Yeah, D.C.
D.C. and Alexandria.
Doc, how you doing today, huh?
Hey, man, you know what? It's a very, very taxing day where you're serving two masters. In that Brother Methurst is on my heart, his family, our colleagues, and it's to honor him. But I love the celebration of his body of work and his passion for his family. And so to represent and to work and to put that spotlight on him and his family is really what it's all about. And to be honored to be in that position to celebrate his life, and then to be mindful of where we are right now. And it's been that kind of week we've had with the tragedies that we've had outside of sports, and how fortunate we are to have sports as this comfort, as our blankie that we can kind of get through all this with.
Hey, Doc, I agree with you. Definitely sending my prayers and as much grace as I can to the Methurst family. I've had some friends affected that I grew up with by the plane crash over the Potomac. So I definitely want to give a special prayer and condolences to my childhood friend, Belinda Pruitt. I hope her and her kids are, you know, filled with love from family and friends from all over. I'm definitely sending it from wherever I am, and I'll definitely, when I see her, we've been good since we were kids. So, yeah, wow. Special shout out good to deal. Those families, especially the Absolutely. People in Philly as well. But to get to what we know, Doc, and near and dear to the Pete's family, I mean, to Pete and his family, like you said, he's a great family man. But, definitely, I think we need to start with the O&D line. We know football starts there. You cannot do anything if you can't block or tackle, and that all starts there. I would love to pick up a vet and then draft a young guy for the O-line. The D-line, we can fill it however, you know, the GM feels like, I can't think of his name, Adam Peters feels like Adam filling Peters, that position. But I missed the conversation you had with Lamont. But, Doc, the way you speak like a great uncle when you speak, because I'm a running back. I played running back in college. I played corner. I could run with those dudes, and I was physical. But those double moves and everything, I would always have to catch up with my speed. But the running back position and a tight end position, they're like brothers. You got to have an O-lineman mentality. You got to be able to run the ball, protect the ball, and then you also got to run your routes. So you got to have a combination of wide receiver, lineman, and running back. And that mentality is something that very few have. And if we can get that position to help this team out, that's three facets of the game that will get better. And a lot of people don't recognize that. Even with the tight end, Zach played good because he could block, he could catch, and he could make a few moves. Not that many at his age, but he still made moves. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So I really think those are the key positions, O-line, D-line, and running back. And Bobby, I'm not sure about I see that he has the mentality. I would love for him to be able to continue to instill that in Jordan McGee, and if we get another linebacker. But I think he would suit better as a coach right now, but if he's still willing to play and they willing to pay him, man, let that man play. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you, man. You've been schooling. You threw out a clinic. I appreciate you, man.
Yes,
and
sir.
And God bless your friends with it as well. Right. It's tough. But we do this thing, man, together, and we use this as a bridge, this sports thing, and it's good, and it can work for all of us as long as we stay grounded and we stay focused on our agenda.
Yes,
that
sir.
Is to win as one. Appreciate you, man.
Doc, I appreciate you, Doc.
You got it, man. Max, we got time to get to Christopher in Maryland?
Yeah, we got time.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks for being patient.
Hey, no problem, Doc. How you doing today? I'm a Falcons fan, man.
You know what? I'm honored, man, to be able to honor a colleague and to be able to, for the Burgundy and Gold to be back, that we are now, we're relevant again, and we're just getting started. How about a platform? I mean, this is a trampoline. And we come in this thing with the wins that we have, the position that we're in, and now with the Senior Bowl, we're about to accumulate the next team. Because this team's done now. This is over. And I'm excited about the new beginning. And nothing's guaranteed, but I like the platform we're in.
Absolutely. Hey, Doc, y'all was describing a player. You know, you said you need a freak as a blocker, a freak as a route runner. Y'all was describing Tyler Warren from Penn State. You're talking about a freak athlete. You're talking about a tight end that runs the ball. You're talking about a tight end that blocks. If once you can get somebody like that on your roster that just got the will for football, the natural football, that's a game changer.
I love him. I love him, too. But again, that's where Adam – I mean, that's what they'll – I don't ever look at a position. I look at a player.
Yep.
You know, you and other than quarterback, I wouldn't take a quarterback with JD5. But this guy, he answers some things, whether or not it's a need. A need is a really good player that's competitive. That, and you're right. I don't know if he'll be there. I would doubt it. And I don't know what they're thinking, because that's not my job. That's their job, and they'll do it. But I'm with you. You and I, we would tap our glasses. If that happened, I'd be thrilled. If the rest of the league is dumb enough to let him go down to, were we at max 20? Would you say 28th?
Close, 29.
29th? Most of them were dumb as bricks, so it could happen. Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, I listen to you, man. You take the best available player. You don't.
Yeah.
You know,
I
you
agree.
Take the best available player. But what I would say is, listen, Dan Quinn coached my team before. That the year that Dan Quinn got his 4 year in, he drafted a hell of a draft class. Like, if you go back and look at his first, I mean, I know he has an input in it. I'm sure it wasn't just him. It's the GM also, but he drafted some talented players that our first four picks of his second year that came through, all of them made the Pro Bowl. Not the same year, but the year that we went to the Super Bowl, we started five freshmen, but we started five rookies and one, two sophomores. You know, so you got to give them patience. I don't believe in just going to spend money. I believe in you plug in people, you draft people that fit your need, you draft people, and you build them up. You build them up. And I don't believe in – I want to throw this one name out because I've never heard nobody say nothing. I want to get it out before you say – I want your input. What about Stephon Diggs? He's a homer. He got hurt last year. He might be on a friendly deal. You know, what about bringing Stephon Diggs to play wide receiver here?
I love his talent. His temperament from the past would not connect with me. But he may not be the same guy, because he's got to look at his football mortality and say, maybe I just want to win now. Because he was in Buffalo's younger guy had different things on it. To me, he would not be a fit for where they're going at this time in his career, personally. He'd be more of a fit with a team in a different mindset. That's just me personally.
I was just thinking sometimes you outside looking in and be like, oh, I like what they got going on. And I'm a homer. You know, sometimes that'll humble a person. Sometimes that'll shut a person up. And plus,
oh, no, I agree with you. But he'd have to take a lot less than he has earned when there's just too many guys that are much younger that can't demand what he would demand financially. Wide receivers now, they're a dime a dozen. There are that many really good people now. That's how the position has morphed. I love him as a talent. But right now, you don't have to overreach for wideouts anymore. It's unbelievable how many of them there are now. I agree with you, though. I've always been, he's always been my kind of guy. I'm sorry it hadn't worked out. But at this point, that window has, they've missed a window.
All right, man. I'm going to fall back and listen, man. But, like, Lamar was a great guy, man. I love him. I used to love watching that guy. He came in, like, 2-3 years before me. I used to love watching that guy, man.
Yeah, he's something, man. I appreciate you. Thank you on that. Max, I tell you, man, you're pushing all the right buttons, Max. Time-wise, I think we in decent position, or should we take it?
We're in a great spot.
Now, can we get to pick?
We're in a great spot. Let's take a break here, and then we'll get to pick.
All right, we'll do that break time, then we come back, and we'll get to Toothpick and Kansas City. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Just heard from Dr. Sabah. She's in the ATL watching baby girl put up some threes, and, you know, she wanted to throw in her. I knew she likes Hampton, the running back out of UNC. He's nice. He really is good. She says the next, LaDainian Tomlinson, and that's one of the best backs, man. LT was a beast. There are a lot of good running backs now. And DC was on point. You look at wide receivers. It's just probably the one position that's morphed into the most talented guys on the field in a way that I can't even explain it. How good they are now. Stephon Diggs is still an ace receiver. He really is. I mean, there's nothing he can't do on the field. But to be injured, he's got to be close to his 30s now. There's just too many of these guys now that have won potentials that I don't think you would even risk it. Toothpick, who is household right now, just got to be on fire. What's up?
What's good, Doc? Thanks for taking my call.
New Orleans is what's good. You know what's good.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So right now I'm out running errands. So she had the house taking care of some house business, and she gonna be upset I made this call without her. But it is what it is. She said, hey, we didn't do our part to get there. Meet her in New Orleans. Meet them in New Orleans. But you know, it's still gonna be a great game. So you know, got a root interest
yeah.
there. But Doc.
Yeah,
Doc. Let's get right down to business with Duke. And I told Max, I said I love to play this game, but first off, I got to preface that by saying this: Adam Peters, I trust. You know, he hasn't done anything to upset the way that I'm thinking right now, and the way that he has these kids that he just drafted this year that love football first. That's what I trust him to do again in this draft. So yeah. With me, I've learned from you. I got to run the ball and stop the run. So. My first two choices, I'm going to the people that need to fly first class, Doc. I'm going into the trenches because we were terrible at stopping the run this year. We had 7 Russian TDs put on us in a championship game, in a hat and t-shirt game. We had running backs go off on us. They put double nickels on us. So I have to address that first. I got to address my defensive line, and then I'm going to address my offensive line because I got to be able to run the ball because I have a dynamic quarterback that I got to take the pressure off of, and the rest of it will take care of itself. But if I don't start in them trenches, I'm doing everybody in the city a disservice.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer to me. And again, it's a no-brainer to me because I have nothing to do with it. I got AP. I'm on the sidelines just watching and admiring it, and I'm just waiting on them to start OTAs. I got no issue in it. They got a game plan. They know what's got to be done. The turnovers now we'll never know. This is a game that we know the outcome, but we'll never really know now. Because giving them four turnovers, they turn into touchdowns, so the game's gone. They got 50 on you. But Philadelphia knows what potentially could have happened. So now we just got to zip our lips and go to work and realize that we got work to do, period.
Yes, sir.
Nothing else to be
said. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good luck to you. Get a first lady, my best.
Appreciate you, Doc.
All right, good deal.
We'll do
later. K-9 is next. Jonesy, what's up?
Hey, Doc. Man, I saw the K-9 sign in the air. I said, oh, I got a call. That means, you know, we got to keep with the K-9s sitting here talking. Hey, look, I like that kid, man. Mike Free, man. I mean, if we can get away, we can get our hands on him. Yes, I'm taking him. If we get a shot at him. But I've heard someone mention something about Stephon Green coming in. No, Stephon Diggs.
Diggs,
no,
yeah.
I don't want Stephon. I mean, nice player, whatever have you, but, you know, I don't know. We don't know if the sun is setting on his career, by the way. And, you know, and he's been pretty much a psychopath a little bit everywhere he's been, from Minnesota to Buffalo. And even now, I'm here, there may be a little bit of rumbling up there where he is out there for the Texans. So we don't want to bring, you know, bad news here. We've been through that. You know, we got to move on. So I'm just, you know, waiting. And because the future's bright here for us. And it's just good to be in a position where, though, you can put your gear on, Doc, and just go place for place, and people just start talking about you in good fashion. And with your team, and you, hey, you got a quarterback. All you got to do is build around him. So it feels good to hear that kind of stuff instead of being on the other side of it. The good news for being just bad, you know, your owner is in trouble. You know, you got bad news off the field. This going through this, going through that. Everything, you know, that has nothing to do with football. So it's just good to be back in this, you know, good spectrum of life of things. So I'm thankful.
Very well said. Nothing more needs to be said, man. Enjoy your day. And put on your gear. People, you're wearing gear again. You Max, JD5's jersey's number one.
It's all over.
Number one.
Yeah. Number one in all of sports.
Yeah, number one. So whether you like it, the colors, whether you like all that, now your voice has been minimized. The people have spoken.
Winning cures all.
It cures all. And you want to keep winning? Or would you rather be losing than bitching about something? I mean, the key is fall in line or fall out. Either one you want to do, it's on you. I like the feel of this thing. And to break, we go, we come back, we'll have a Wolverine try to explain some psychology about what it means to win a national championship and be undefeated in the process as opposed to having a couple chips in the armor. Stay with us here on Overtime. 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. 11:33 in the nation's capital. Rick Doc Walker on the microphone. Representing, talking burgundy and gold. Got a lot going on, Senior Bowl today. Duke, Carolina, and really one of the last of the Mohegans, a legitimate knockdown, drag-down rivalry. That folks don't take kind to fraternizing about it. They don't ride up in the same cars together for that one. And I kind of like that. Some of that's kind of cool. Nothing like being in a legitimate rivalry. The best ones to me are still high school. And when it's thick and it keeps on going. There are not a lot of them that still exist to really get your blood boiling. But one that still kind of gets it going is Michigan, Ohio State. And I've got relationships of dudes on both sides, known women, ladies on both sides. It's not a joke. This one is for real. And we've had over the years people represent on both sides that have joined in and tapped in with us, and we've been honored to have had that. And it's not one side. It goes back and forth, which is good. You know it's legit when you get people that adopt them. The thing about Ohio is that people born in Ohio feel kindred spirit that goes with them Buckeyes, man. They just, I mean, it's something good. And I love having your buddies on both sides of the aisle on this, and it's real. And I love that. I think it's really good because it hasn't ever turned real violent, and so that's good. But I guarantee this next one coming up, it's going to be the rubber match because both of them coming off national championships, and this is one that one that follows it is going to be rugged, and it will be in Ann Arbor. So a lot of fun with that. And if he wakes up, we're going to get the Wolverine on with us. And he's here. He is. Well, I don't know because, look, he has that do not disturb sign. You know, it usually goes on his bedroom door. So, Mr. Carpenter, thanks for joining us. And hope your morning tea was delightful. And
I like how you like making fun of us working people that never get an opportunity to sleep. Okay, that you always accuse us of sleep in bedroom. Well, I mean, I haven't seen that since I was with my parents.
Looking at the top NFL draft prospects, and I can't help but be, how many Michigan people on this thing? I thought you guys. I thought it was a down year. Kenneth Grant looking up here and Loveland, and I'm looking over a little bit more. I said, wait a minute, there's Johnson? Where all these Michigan people come from? I thought you guys were, I thought it was a down year.
Hey, man, well, first of all, you know, I will congratulate the Buckeye Nation for their victory, of their national championship victory. It's great that they followed in our footsteps to get that done. But all we do know is that they didn't beat everybody. And we hang our hats on that. They didn't beat everybody, so.
And that would be a reference to the fact that when you guys did it, you beat everybody.
Yes. Okay. Yes, the shirt that I have and the shirt that you have.
Yeah.
Says we beat everybody.
Okay.
So, I mean, but this is what keeps the rivalry good. You know, gives us something to poke at each other about. And that'll keep this going. Because it wouldn't be as good if we didn't have these victories over one another, these challenges over one another, and it's great because the clock has started in Ann Arbor. See, well, we only have one clock in Michigan, and it says when we're going to play Ohio State. It'll tell you the exact day, hour, minutes of when we're going to tee off to play Ohio State. And the clock started as soon as we finished playing them there. And they have the same clock. This says when they're going to play us. It doesn't say where we're going to play Oklahoma or anybody else, Indiana, Purdue. It only says when we're going to play Ohio State.
And we Max, are you writing building. Notes?
Of course.
Okay.
And we walk into the building every day, and they'll tell us when we're getting ready to play Ohio State and why we're here. It's to play the Buckeyes.
And what I think is important, because Max and I started the show today, and we said, you know, it is Carolina Duke, which I think is legit on hoops. It's no joke. And I used to think Alabama, Auburn, and football, but that's now. I do think that the only real rivalry in college football right now is Michigan, Ohio State, to where it is taken this seriously that it still matters. Your brother played in this game of what, 69?
Yes. Yes. He played 69 through 72. When they beat Ohio State, and they were the number one team in the nation, that said that they were unbeatable. And they beat them to go to the Rose Bowl. And back then, you remember, you did win the Big Ten, you didn't play in no bowl game.
No bowl game.
You either played in the Rose Bowl or you played in nothing.
Yeah. Max, I just wanted to put some clarity to this, how serious this is. And I thought it was this way for, like, Oklahoma and Texas. I used to remember Arkansas, Oklahoma. I used to hear, you know, Texas, you know, all these big rivalry games. None of them hold a candle to this now. Georgia, yeah. Florida. Think of one. Correct me, Max, if I'm wrong on this. What football rivalry can even be mentioned in the same breath?
There's really not one like Ohio State Michigan anymore. I mean, at least in recent memory, like past, like,
you mean recent, like 50 years? 30 years?
Well, even past 10 years in my mind, like, I can't speak to anything really before that, because that was when I really started paying attention to college football.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there's nothing. I want somebody to tell me, call in here at 1-800-636-1067 and tell me. I hear people memoring, but other than Carolina hoops, Duke hoops, what really gets the dandruff up on you? What gives you goosebumps? What gets you riled up annually like this? Like what Duke, Carolina in hoops, and Ohio State, Michigan, in football. Other than Army, Navy, I don't really think I'm close.
For not beating one or the other. They had Coach Day, who I think is a great coach, He only lost, other than losing to us, he had only lost one game. That was against Oregon, and they wanted to fire him. That's how serious this is. He was 45 or 46 and 1 against everybody else.
So, no, I mean, I think it's crazy, but apparently I don't see anything like this. And it's why I'm looking forward to it. Because now that they've won, I can't wait to see it and hear about it, about the interest on it. I thought the Texas ticket in Ann Arbor was going to be the biggest ticket, and then Jim leaves and things change.
It still was. But it won't be like this. Last year it was, when Jim was there, it was Michigan, Ohio State. It's always points to that game, and it always has. Because you have to remember, this goes back to when Michigan and Archie Griffin them years and Dennis Franklin them, and when they were playing Ohio State, and it was 10-10 ties. They finished the game in 10-10 tie. And the athletic directors had to go vote on Sunday to see who was going to go to the Rose Bowl. And one was going to be left at home. So this is how serious this goes back to.
And there was players that played up to Michigan that were 10-1 and never played in a bowl game. They were 10-1-0. Okay, they had a tie and never played in a bowl game. Because that's really kicked Michigan State to another level. Because Michigan State voted against us to go to the Rose Bowl. Or they voted against Michigan. That sent Ohio State to the Rose Bowl. So that's what kicked up that rivalry even more. So both never forgot that. And that's why we always became such a huge rival. Bigger rivalry than what it was, because they voted against us. So this takes it back to... Yeah, it takes it back. And
wars within the wars. When you're thinking about the Senior Bowl, I know you played in the East-West, these, and I know now we don't worry about our leadership, people making these selections. Help or hurt yourself in these bowl games?
It's huge because you get, you know, now you got pro coaches coming. Now you've got other coaches who are college coaches who are installing systems, putting things in place that you've got to pick up on and learn to perform. So it shows your football IQ in a week. Guys who can pick things up and who understand different programs other than what maybe they have been running for the last 3 or 4 years of why they're in college. So that's big. And then you've got basic, I would say, just your one-on-one skills that you may have going against one another with just basic one-on-ones that you don't get that opportunity to do at the combine, because there is no one-on-ones at combines or things coming up. So it's huge because they get to see you now going against other potential pro draft prospects coming up. So I think it's huge for this week, and it's all week. I think the week of practice is bigger than the week of the game, of that game. So I think that week of the East-West Shrine, of getting up every day, going to practice, and then they're getting to see you, how do you handle that week? You know, are you a good professional, or are you just a kid that's coming there to hang out? Are you taking this serious that whole week? So they're there their whole week with their eye on you and your habits and things that mean something to you.
When you played opposite, you and Vernon Dean playing opposite of Darryl Green, what was that like, knowing that people were going to avoid him and come and try to attack you guys? And I'm trying to talk to Max and tell him about, it's the chicken or the egg. Everybody talks about our secondary, and I'm going, their secondary is tied into our lack of pressure on the quarterback. Can you break that down in DB talk?
Yeah, it matters to how long I have to cover you. So every second that a receiver has down the field is 10 yards. So if you don't get there, if he doesn't get there in 3 seconds, okay, you're asking somebody to cover somebody routes or break off routes for 30 yards. So the quicker you get there, the closer I have the opportunity to cover somebody in a small space. So when there's no pressure there, people, it's you're playing 7-on-7. And the talent is too good in the pros. They're too fast. They're too good to catch somebody. That's like running a 100-yard dash, and I'm giving you an 80-yard, I'm giving you a 20-yard head start, and you expect me to catch it. There is no makeup speed like that anymore in the pros. I'm going to run the 100. I run the 100 and you run 80 yards. So
yeah, I think the biggest misconception, and try to help fans understand, like Mike Standersteel, Wolverine, played his butt off. People categorize it, well, he's an inside guy. Well, no, I think he's a corner. First of all, he's a football player. He's a right. guy who had exactly. wide receiver background. Why did he exactly. adapt to it? So why did he make it look easier than it? You know it really is?
I think that I think Mikey is a football player, just like what you just said. And I thought, and that's one of the beauty and credit that I give Jim. You know, he brought him there as a wide receiver, and then the kid was so talented and the spirit that he had, he was willing to change to go to the other side of the ball. And when you really think about that, because I've talked to Jack Harbaugh, Jim's father, he was my coach, talked about Mikey, and the mindset of telling somebody to switch from offense to go hit on defense. You know, that really, to take that offensive mindset but be physical with it. And that's what Mikey does so well. He's an offensive, he's a guy that can play offense, but he's physical enough to play on the defensive side of the football. So with him playing that time at offense helps him a lot in pattern and recognizing the patterns and the passing concepts that they're doing, because he's seen it and he's done it at the highest level. So it really helps him because he's played on both sides of the ball.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate the contribution. This week, we'll get you back before the Super Bowl, but you're early. Right now, what does your gut tell you? If you had to put something on this one, who do you like? We got time to break it down later, but just off the top of your head, who do you like a week or so out of the Super Bowl?
I like 15.
Okay. You like the quarterback.
Yeah, I like 15. Yeah.
You like 15. Okay, well, we'll get you back then before kickoff to go on that. But that was excellent. If I didn't know better, you sound like a guy that's been associated with pro football for a long time, and we appreciate that.
Hey, man, I appreciate being on here. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And Max, what do you think, man? Sound like an expert, huh?
Always.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, he's a magician. I don't know how he does it. How you can come out of a deep sleep and then come into that and then be that good as an analyst. That was awesome. So we thank Brian Carpenter for his expertise on that, and we'll go to a break and we'll come back and get some parting shots as we get ready to pass it over to a world-class expert who joins the show at high noon. We'll be right back. He should be well-rested.
Yeah, going all the way to 10. Yeah, he should be good now. He should be recharged, rested, ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'll be good. What's the rest of your weekend like?
Rest of the weekend, I'm going to chill tomorrow cuz I've been working a lot this week. First time I've ever hit overtime on the timesheet, which is nice. But tonight I'm going to the Caps game, Caps Jets. It's going to be fun. Logan Thompson's getting the start. He's going to be going up against Connor Hellebuyck. So the
new cash. Got a little new.
Yeah, a little new deal. He's doing all right. So, yeah, I am looking forward to it. Should be probably low scoring, given how both these goaltenders have been playing all season. But, hey, who knows? Should be a fun one.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. They're hot. I mean, they, you know, stubbed the toe a little bit. But, you know, they'll be back on the good foot. And, always look forward to it, man. So let's go, Captain. If you see Brother Koken, don't forget to wish him a happy birthday.
Yes, I will make sure to do that, because we might be getting a little bit of a tour, so we shall see if I run into Mr. Koken.
Do that. Then tell him that his old tag team partner wishes him nothing but success.
Of course, always.
All right, my brother. Well, job well done. And we do appreciate Brother Carpenter. And he was a guest courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That was good. And we appreciate all of you. God bless you. And we can't wait to do it again the next time we get a red hot microphone.